Today's scripture reading is from St. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, the Great Commission. Hear the word of the Lord. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, yes, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May God add his blessing and understanding to these words of Scripture. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As you've heard a couple times already, this is a special day as we celebrate Laity Sunday. And as Harry mentioned, it's been part of our church calendar for a very long time, since the late 1920s. And Laity Sunday honors the baptismal call of all Christians to be in ministry. So do you remember when you were baptized, you accepted that call to be in ministry? Some answer that call by teaching Sunday school, volunteering to participate on our church committees, providing pastoral care, leading worship, facilitating Bible studies, or reaching out into the community. We're all called to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ with the goal of what? Making disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Joseph, I think they're getting it. We are absolutely blessed to have 18 certified lay servants in our congregation. And when you compare that to other churches in our district, that's pretty impressive. Each time we have our church conference here, our charge conference, the presiding elder is very impressed with our number of lay servants. Pastor Joseph has challenged us to learn more and to grow in our faith by reading and studying together. He's committed hundreds of hours developing and leading lay servant courses, which we've all been encouraged to attend. And behind the scenes, he's also been working with our church council for many months. He's helped us to develop an actual disciple-making plan. We've taken part of each meeting to discuss how we as a church body can be more intentional about making disciples. I have to tell you the truth. Some of us were a bit surprised to learn that we needed a plan at all. And probably most of us assumed that it was our pastor's job to come up with that plan. But I think now, after a number of months, we've learned that it's up to us as the body of Christ. Not only have a plan, but work together to support it. Now, we need to remember we're not alone in this endeavor. Our entire denomination has made this a priority and has provided tools for us to use. To emphasize how important this is to the United Methodist Church as a whole, we're now required to complete and submit forms annually that describe what our disciple-making plan looks like here at the Manlius United Methodist Church. So I think we all got serious in the last couple of meetings saying, oh man, if we got to report what our plan is, we better get one. So we as a congregation, as church council, the church leaders, decided to use the HOPE Transformational Discipleship Plan as our guide. Now some of you may have seen this flyer floating around the church and wondered, or maybe not wondered, what that was all about. But we're going to use this as our guide as we strive to become more intentional about making disciples and offering hope to our community. In order to give you a better understanding of what the HOPE Discipleship Plan involves, I've asked Lenny Hernandez, Brian and Karen Ogborn, David Sorgel, and Patrick and Sandy O'Connor to briefly describe what each of the letters H-O-P-N-E stand for? So we'll start with Lenny. Good morning. Well, let me start by saying that the HOPE plan for making disciples is not to sit around and just hope that people show up. That's not what it is. As Diana said, it is a very intentional plan for making disciples. So the hospitality portion is the H, and I can see why my sister chose me for that, because I do have kind of a pretty good handle on the hospitality portion. Can you think of any words that start with H that you can say to greet somebody? What would you say if you were meeting somebody?
Hi.
Hi, hello, how are you? Or if you're Minnie Pearl, howdy. What if you did this to somebody? What's that called? A handshake, yep. What if you're Matt Lasham and you do this? Yeah, he's great at that. Here's another H. How can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? Yeah. Use that for your H sometime when you're greeting someone. And of course, we always have, the coffee pot is always on. We're very good United Methodists about that. And you can always sign up to bring a snack. And even if you're not a baker, Tops, I understand, sells Oreos. Who knew? So please, sign up and be one of our hospitality hosts. I like to call you snack heroes. There's another H, heroes. And we always have a gift bag that we give to our visitors here. This is a word that doesn't begin with H. Smile. That's a great way to make a new friend or to greet someone. Just smile at them. And just offer your hand and say, hi, my name's Lenny, or my name's Matt, or Claire, or Brian, or Claudette, or Sandy. And just be there. Ask them their name, and ask them if they're new in the area, or, how can we be of service to you, or, do you need a Bible? We have Bible studies here. Do you have one? And if you don't, we'll get you one. Whatever we can do to welcome newcomers into our midst. And let me ask you a question. How many in the last 6 months have invited somebody new to church? Anybody? Have you invited somebody new to church? Yeah, good. We need to be intentional about that. I know that's not an H word. It doesn't have to be, but invite is a very, very important word. So hospitality. We do a lot here that's really, really good. And we would love for your input on how we can improve those things and other programs that we can do, other just little things that we can do to welcome the newcomer. That's hospitality, making them feel welcome, making them feel like they have a place here, because you know what? There's room for more. There really is. Yes, we are the O.
Not by accident. I wonder why she asked us to do the O, but the O really, really stands for not bringing another offering today. You've already done that, which is good, but offering yourselves to Christ. Individually, we've done it in many ways, from our baptism to offering ourselves, all of us here in the church, on a weekly basis, how we can help, what can we do, offering ourselves to commit ourselves to Christ. And also the offering of Christ to other people that may not know Christ, maybe the way that we do. How can we express our love of Christ to others who may not know him as well as we do? But Karen has a few things here that we did and have done as we've grown in Christ. individually and as a congregation?
I mean, there's many ways to do it. Many of us participated in the Alpha course, which was a great course that we took. There's also Walks to Emmaus through confirmation. When we have children confirmed, it's always a great tool to get somebody to come in, and hopefully they stay and learn and to be good Christians later, and we set the foundation for them. And then there's different Journey 101 courses, and again through baptism and transformational evangelism. And there's just different ways that we can all get involved to offer hope and offer Christ to others. Did you have?
I think when you feel that burning in your heart that you love Christ, it's easier to spread that love to others. And I think that's what we need to do on a more regular basis, and invite people to come and experience that love. But I just wanted to close with, this is a moment when he becomes my Lord and my God. I take you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. We are saved by the grace of God that is received by simple faith in Jesus Christ alone. Have you made a commitment to him today? Amen.
Good morning. If you, some of you, or many of you probably remember back in 1992, there was some sound bites going around on news clips of Admiral James Stockdale, who was Ross Perot's vice presidential running mate. And he started his introductory speech at the debate by asking two questions. One, who am I? And the second, and why am I here? And the press had a lot of fun with that. I see some people chuckling that remember that. I think those are two of the questions, there are more, that go with the concept of purpose. I want to start with the second question first. Why are we here? Well, as Diana already mentioned, we read the Methodist mission statement every week, making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That's a high-level answer to why are we here. If you look at the material for the HOPE program, the purpose statement in the round circle has a statement. It says, growing in faith through participation in the means of grace. Well, that clears it up, doesn't it? Or at least it does for perhaps a few people. For the rest of us, let's figure out what that means. First of all, the means of grace comes from John Wesley, one of the founders of Methodism, and he saw the means of grace, or living a purposeful life, as being broken down into two aspects. One he called works of piety, the other he called works of grace. Now, the works of piety is kind of turning inward. It's growing your own faith, helping others within the church to grow their faith. And examples of works of piety, and this is somebody else's list, consist of things like reading, meditating and studying the scriptures, prayer, fasting, regularly attending worship, healthy living, and sharing our faith with others on a personal level. As a congregation, examples might be regularly sharing in the sacraments, Bible study, and what he called Christian conferencing, which is basically meeting with each other, holding each other accountable for our faith journeys and development of our faith. And the works of grace, that's turning outward. That's doing things to help others. For example, individually, we might be, doing good works, visiting sick, visiting those in prison, feeding the hungry, giving generously to the needs of others. And as a congregation, it would be things like seeking justice, ending oppression and discrimination. John Wesley actually challenged Methodists at the time to end slavery as part of his works of grace, and addressing the needs of the poor. So this is kind of who we are, or why we are here, but who are we? We each have our own faith story. And the Bible says that the church is made up of different parts. The examples used, body parts. You know, everybody can't be an ear. Everybody can't be a foot. But also the Bible says we each have different gifts. Some are ministers. Some are teachers. You know, some make music, our choir, and Debbie. We each have different gifts. So part of the purpose component is to help us explore our faith. We need to study and discern our gifts. There are courses that go along with that that some of us who have been here have taken as part of the first time that we started on this Hope Project several years ago, looking at what are our spiritual gifts. And then we need opportunities to apply those gifts. So that's part of a purposeful life also, is applying the gifts once we figure out what those are. As individuals and as a congregation, we have limited resources. So one of the other questions we need to ask are, how do we know the right things to do with these resources? Or maybe phrasing the question another way, what is God calling me, calling you, or calling us to do? That's all part of this purpose, the P. So how do we develop this as part of our program? Well, here at Manlius, we do regular worship services, obviously, as the first starting point. We have prayer meetings. A number of them have been going on and involving many of you. There was a healing service for a while. We have Bible studies. We have, study on discerning spiritual gifts, which I talked about earlier. We have a number of lay servant training courses. We're very fortunate to have Pastor Joseph, who is a great educator and very focused on training and educating, who's offered a number of courses to both people within our congregation and within other Methodist churches in the area. We are currently doing the Disciples Through Bible Study Course 1 that about 11 of us are involved in. Coming up in the announcements, we have reading the Bible in a year. Well, I guess it's going to be 2 years. Maybe we read slowly. But, so all of these kinds of small group activities, we share and challenge our faith. And this is what a purposeful life is, and that's what the P component of Hope stands for. I don't know if you've noticed this yet, but these are kind of progressive. We need to be reaching people where they are. The H, the hospitality, is offering something to somebody as they come in the door. The O is once you're in the door, you need to accept Christ, you need to offer yourself to Christ, is the O. The P is figuring out a purposeful life. How do I, now that I've dedicated my life to Christ, how do I apply that? What do I give back? How do I start returning it? And I suspect we're going to find out the E builds on that.
I didn't know we could be props. Good morning. I'm Sandy O'Connor, and I'm here to talk about the letter E, which should not be silent in hope. Engagement is the sending out of grace-filled followers of Jesus Christ who are putting their faith into action. Putting their faith into action. Through engagement, one offers hospitality to a stranger, inviting him or her into the fellowship of the body. Thus, we are a continuous journey as disciples.
So when we were asked to speak about engagement, one of the first things that popped into my mind was this quote that I recently read from Mother Teresa. I used to pray that God would feed the hungry, or do this or do that, but now I pray that he will guide me to do whatever I'm supposed to do, what I can do. I used to believe that prayer changes things, but now I know that prayer changes us, and we change things. The E of engagement is not just the fourth leg of the table. It's the wheels under the legs that move us forward. I mean, without the E, we have hop. We jump up and down, but we don't get anywhere. Engagement is about going out, like the apostles, and sharing the love of Jesus Christ with anyone and everyone. Engagement is tough, though. I mean, it requires us to change our inner dialogue. No longer can we say, I see this need. Somebody should do something about it. Now, instead, we have to say, I see this need. Lord, give me the strength. You know, help me to improve. What can I do to improve myself so that I can serve? Engagement is changing the words we speak to ourselves from someone to I and we. It is not, Lord, what can you do for me or us, but Lord, what can we do for you?
So how can we engage? A few examples that we've done at church, and this is just a few. During Lent, many of you took bags or brought bags in and filled them with clothing from your closets to find new life with those that may need that are less fortunate. The children collect coins for the heifer projects, and then they choose animals to send to other countries that need those animals. Brad's work with the youth group, the blood drives that we started, we're actually having our third one in December. All the things that our men's group does, our card ministry, the community concert in the park, working with Teen Challenge. There are ways that each of us can engage in our daily lives by lending a helping hand to your neighbor, your coworker, your friends, your relatives, or even a stranger. Neighbors helping neighbors by offering to help out if you see that their yard isn't mowed or their driveway isn't shoveled. Listening without speaking as someone just needs someone to be there for them. As Patrick mentioned earlier, engagement is tough as sometimes you must reach outside your comfort zone, but other times it can be as simple as smiling, as both Linny and Maddie brought up during children's time. You can smile at someone that you don't even know and it will bring comfort to them. So starting now, ask yourself, how can I engage more? Thank you.
Thank you all. That was amazing. Paragraph 122 of the Book of Discipline of the United Methodist Church offers a model for a discipleship system in local congregations that includes proclaiming, seeking, welcoming, leading persons to commit their lives to God, nurturing persons in Christian living, and sending persons into the world to live lovingly and justly as servants of Christ. So now it's pretty obvious, we can all see we all have a stake in this. As a body of believers, we have some work to do. We need to continually support each other as we grow together. We're all in different places in our spiritual journey, and that's awesome. That's exactly why we want to have some kind of thoughtful plan to ensure that each of us has multiple opportunities to grow in our faith. We seem to do a great job now in our congregation. We're getting better all the time of offering programs and classes and events to meet people right where they are in their faith journey. We need to go out into the community and welcome others into our midst and offer them the hope of that only Jesus Christ can offer. Going forward, let's all make it a priority to pray every day for each other and for those who have not yet joined us in our midst. God has big plans for us, church, and with his help, we can do more. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I praise God for this promise. Amen and amen.